Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Our readings begin this season of mission for the church, ordinary time, time ordered to the growth of the springtime of the church. And that's why we wear green, even though it's still pretty white and miserable out there. Angry little snow globe that it's been this weekend. But this is a time of growth, personally and also for the growth of the church, to share our faith, to invite others into it. As we celebrate and begin Catholic Schools Week, again, we remember that Jesus calls us to go therefore and teach all nations, that we might baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a time for growth, it's a time for mission. And now that we've celebrated Jesus's baptism, he begins his public mission and ministry. He starts calling the disciples, he starts gathering a band of disciples, and off he goes. And he starts proclaiming a very simple message: repent, the kingdom is in your midst. Sometimes they'll say repent and believe, but he has a very simple message, and it's an urgent message. Now is the time, the kingdom is in your midst. Let's face it, even though he might not be publicly identifying himself as the Messiah, he is the one sent by the Father. He is the locus of the kingdom. The kingdom is there. This is a time for change. Don't procrastinate. Don't put off till tomorrow what the Lord has put on your heart. And there's an urgency to this. And that same urgency is always with us. It's very important to realize that the mission of Christ is always here and now, because we don't know what tomorrow brings and what opportunities might change. If the Lord puts it on our heart to do something different, to change, to repent, to convert more, if the Lord puts it on our heart to share our faith with somebody else, to accompany them, to reach out, to do a work of mercy, now's the day to do that. We might not have the opportunity tomorrow. There's an urgency to the mission. The mission is always here and now. And again, we see that urgency within the readings of today. Now, Jesus, if we talk about here and now of mission, that mission is local to where Jesus grows up. Now, yes, the early childhood years of Jesus are spent in Egypt. But once Mary and Joseph return from Egypt, they settle back in Nazareth. When Jesus begins his public ministry, where does he go? Capernaum. Where's Capernaum? Like a stone's throw northeast of Nazareth, probably a day's journey, walking slowly. It's not far. Israel isn't that big, to be honest. And he begins very locally. Now, back in the day when that was first settled, that promised land was first settled by the Israelites coming into that land from Egypt after the Exodus, the 12 tribes, again, there's 12 sons of Jacob, the patriarch, and from their progeny, all their descendants, you have those 12 tribes of Israel. The northern two tribes that settle way up in that area of Galilee are the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali. They're way up there. kind of where Jesus was growing up in Nazareth and the area around Capernaum. Now, what happens in those intervening centuries is that that whole land of the northern kingdom of Israel gets forcibly resettled by Gentiles, which is to say, non-Jewish people. So by the time we get to the era of the Messiah, and Jesus comes and he's revealed, that area is now not Galilee of the Jews, it's Galilee of the Gentiles. And so that mission to be a light to the world, right? Jesus is the light of the world. That mission is to call all times and all peoples and all places to a knowledge of the one true God. That mission now can begin quite locally. He doesn't have to go far beyond the boundaries of Israel. He grew up beyond the boundaries of Israel. He's in Galilee of the Gentiles. So he can literally start next door. So again, it speaks to the mission being here and now. And same thing goes for us, let's be honest. We don't have to go to the other side of the world to share the faith with people. Our world has become more and more secularized. There's people right next door to us. There's people in our neighborhood. There's people in our schools. There's people in our workplace who really don't know who Jesus is. They don't know the story. They've never really had that shared with them. Maybe it's the person in front of you in the checkout line. There's people right here and now. Sometimes it's easy to make those excuses of, well, you know, I'm not really in a position to be some missionary to some far-off land. You don't have to be a missionary to a far-off land. There's people right here, right now, who could use your encouragement, who could use your witness, who could use an introduction to Jesus. And you have that relationship. The mission is here. Now, there's probably a reason that Jesus starts in Capernaum. Frankly, that's where Simon Peter lives. His house is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum's sort of the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and that's where he's living, and that's where he's working. And so it makes perfect sense that as Jesus starts with Peter and Andrew, and then the sons of Zebedee, James and John, well, yeah, there you go. They're living and working right here, and Jesus probably stayed with Simon Peter and, James and John in some of those early months of the ministry until they sort of moved on beyond Capernaum. But it speaks to the ministry being local. As the old saying says, bloom where you're planted. The Lord may call you to greater things, but bloom where you're planted. Practice being faithful in those little things, and the Lord may give you bigger things to do. But right now, this locality, this neighborhood needs your witness. It needs your sharing of the faith. It needs your joy. It needs your mercy and forgiveness and the things that you have by God's gift of faith here and now. Now, as we speak to now, this is an interesting point, especially since this is Catholic Schools Week and we have a number of our students here. Thank you for braving the cold. To our modern education system today, oftentimes we send you through years and years and years and years of schooling before you get to your career. Now, I mean, maybe one or two of you will start a paper route or you'll invent something earlier in life, but a lot of times we send you through 12 years of grade school at least. We send you to, college or some other career school, and then somewhere like in your 20s, you start to find what is your occupation, how do you make your livelihood, and then you sort of support yourself throughout life and your family, etc. That's not how Jesus works it in the spiritual life. He just calls them and sends them right into it, having no clue what they're doing. And it's kind of delightful and it's beautiful at the same time. That Jesus doesn't take the apostles and say, okay, now I'm going to send you away for several years so you can get your degree in preaching. Now, again, yes, nowadays we do that to the ordained ministry. But there's something beautiful about Jesus saying, you know, you're going to learn this best by just being with me. And Jesus grabs Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he just puts them to work immediately. Hey, we got towns and villages to visit. Come on along. And they hear Jesus preach, and they hear Jesus teach, and they take it in, and they ask questions, and they eat together, and they pray together, and they camp out together. And then eventually, as they hear him say the same parables over and over, town to town, and then they start to find their voice. And then, you know, pretty soon Jesus starts to send out the 12 and then a larger group of disciples, the 72. And after they've sat with Jesus long enough, yeah, okay, we know your message now. We can repeat some of that. And then they take ownership of the mission and they go town to town and say, repent, the kingdom is in your midst. Now's the time. Again, here and now, there's a sense of urgency and immediacy. And I think that's how the Lord works in our lives too. It's so easy to procrastinate, make excuses. The Lord wants our yes. And sure, do we have it all figured out in terms of our faith, in terms of our knowledge of theology and scripture? Probably not. Frankly, I'm still learning stuff each day. I have not memorized all of scripture. I have to go back and read things and study things over and over again and try to cram it in my hard drive, which is getting more full each day. And so it is with all of us. But let's not make that an excuse. We have a relationship with the Lord, and frankly, that's the most important thing to share. Some of the facts and the figures and the details, that's all right. You can leave some of that to the professionals. Send them to talk to the priests or the clergy. That's great. But what the Lord wants for us is to reach out to those in need who might not know the Lord, who might not know God's love and mercy, and they need that encouragement that your friendship with Jesus has changed everything. It changes how you see life. It changes your worries into a relationship of trust. The Lord lifts your burdens. The Lord brings you hope. The Lord brings you joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. They need your story, your personal witness. And so may the Lord call us this new year to share our faith, and may we be praying about that. It's a new year. What does the Lord want us to change personally that we might draw ever nearer to the Lord? What does the Lord want us to do to maybe reach out to those we live with, those we serve with, those we study with, those we work with, maybe the neighbors across the street? Is there somebody that we could reach out to and maybe just water the seeds of their faith? And maybe they're already Christian, but maybe they just need a little bit of encouragement to find another Christian that they can find encouragement in and grow a little deeper in their faith, that the light of Christ may shine brightly to the world around us, a world that oftentimes is in darkness, looking for love in all the wrong places and getting caught up in all the wealth and honor and power and pleasure and the things that really do not lead to the kingdom and do not ultimately satisfy the aches and the pains and the emptiness of our hearts. We have a faith, we have a friendship in Christ. The time for mission is here and now. May we be generous with the friendship that we have with Christ and the knowledge of that with all those we meet.